T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Steve Kerr, Golden State Warrior head coach, joining us for a weekly conversation here on 95.7 The Game. Ray Ratto is with us. Steve, say hello to Ray Ratto. I'm sure, Steve, you were thinking to yourself, what would make today's conversation with Damon even smoother? I hope Ray Ratto is there.
Thank God for Ratto. Hi, Ray.
You probably will go to hell for saying that sentence.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Steve,
go ahead.
You know, good to have you. Thanks so much for joining us. And I was just asking aloud, like, who was the very first person to walk up to you and say, Andrew Bogut reboot, should we?
Yeah, I think it was Bob a couple months ago. And, you know, it surprised me. I didn't realize that Bogues had any interest in coming back. I was in touch with him a year ago when he signed with Sydney. And congratulated him. We emailed a couple times, and then Bob said he might be interested, and it was very intriguing. But we had to see kind of how everything played out, and I'm really glad to report that. I'm excited to get him sometime next week.
When Bob posed the question to you, I'm imagining that the two of you had already determined that your greatest need down the stretch was interior defense, because outside the circle, everybody's saying that you need wing help. You got to get some depth at, you know, at wing. Get a wing. And it sounds like you guys had settled on that as your prime need some time ago.
Well, I think, you know, there was a lot of conversation internally with the organization, with Bob and me, with assistant coaches. It's an interesting dynamic, because you could make the case that a wing would play more, that there would be more opportunity to play, but that the vulnerability is more on the big side in case of injury. And so those are the things we were discussing. But really, all this comes down to the quality of whichever player you can get, wing or big. And we were so comfortable with Andrew and just his knowledge of our system and our players. And Larry Hillis went over there and watched him play and was really impressed. And he had a great year at the NBL. And I think he's really looking forward to this run here the next few months if we're able to go deep into the playoffs. So I think it's all working out really well.
I'm sure you've been through any and all scenarios in your head, Steve, about how you'll implement him, how you hope to use him, and the, you know, DEFCON scenario of what is the most you could use him. What do you expect to do in terms of just integrating him, and how much easier is it that he already knows your team's language and your style, and he's so familiar with so many players?
Yeah, that makes it much easier. And he's such an instinctive player anyway. I mean, one of the reasons we play the style we do is because of Bogues' presence as a passer. When I arrived here, we wanted to make sure he was right in that sweet spot for him, where he can run his dribble handoffs and catch lobs going to the rim. And he's a beautiful passer. So a lot of our offense was based on his passing ability, and we haven't changed much since he left. So it's a really good fit. He's already reached out to much tape and playbook and all that kind of stuff. So he's excited. We're excited. And, you know, there really are no expectations. I spoke with Andrew a few days ago. The whole conversation was, hey, whatever happens, happens. So he's an insurance policy, but he's also somebody who's, a good enough player to step in any time. And if we like a matchup, if we have an injury, you know, who knows? He could play any one of a number of roles, but he's comfortable with that flexibility.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. How did DeMarcus Cousins take the news that Andrew Bogut was rejoining the team?
No, he was all for it. He's played against Bogues. He knows what a good defender he is. And He knows that in the playoffs, you need as much fortification as you can get, and we were a little vulnerable. When we first started talking about Bogues, that was before DeMarcus even came back, because we weren't sure how everything would go. And in terms of DeMarcus's health, and, you know, the good news is he feels good, and DeMarcus has come along really well. Still finding his rhythm, still getting all that stuff, but he feels good. He feels healthy. So now we feel like we're getting the best of DeMarcus, and we'll get a really good insurance policy behind him with Bogues, and we've got Looney and Jordan Bell. Smaller, faster game against certain matchups. So we feel like we're pretty well positioned now.
The narrative du jour since Bill Simmons and Adam Silver had their tête-à-tête has been about this overwhelming, you know, cloud of misery enveloping the entire league and all 450 players. Have the coaches noticed that? Have the general managers noticed that? Because this was sort of we thought it might be isolated to the notion of four, five, six, you know, potential free agents are getting tired of being asked about free agency, or the fact that it was the time of the season when everybody, they're not close enough to the playoffs yet, but they've been playing basketball forever.
Right.
So, I mean, has this been perceived inside, not just your organization, but sort of the league, as an issue, or is this something that Adam is seeing from way outside the envelope?
I think this is a societal issue that just happens to spill out into the NBA. When you talk about the impact of social media, there's so much negativity out there. You know, you can read plenty of studies that show, you know, kids are suffering from anxiety and depression more today than they were, you know, a couple decades ago. And the power of the phone in so many different ways and the impact that has on our daily life. And NBA players are subject to all of that and then some because of the amount of criticism and judgment just being in the spotlight. So I think it's I think it's an issue. And but it's not subjected just to a few players. This is a worldwide deal. This is a modern day situation.
Is it insoluble?
I don't know what the answer is, because, you know, I know from my own personal playing experience that I had some ups and downs just from reading the paper or listening to talk radio once in a while. And something negative is said about me and I get in a bad mood and, you know, this is 25 years ago, and I'm thinking, why am I subjecting myself to this? And so it was really easy to just not pick up the morning paper and not turn on the car radio, and that solved it. But how do you do it today when you're sitting there with that phone in your hand and you got people literally seeking you out, sending you messages through Instagram, through Facebook, through Twitter, everything that's coming your way? And, you know, everything in our DNA as human beings is to want to know what people are saying about us and to us. It's a human trait. So it is a really difficult road to navigate these days for these players.
You know, there's no doubt, Steve, that the microscope that the league is under, that the stars are under, it's a hotter, intense, more bright spotlight than ever before. And then the reaction to an individual game can take the narrative, you know, as far away from, you know, they're actually trying to three-peat here, so things aren't that bad. It was a rough one against Boston. You were palpably disappointed in your team's effort, and that's not something we see from you very often at the podium afterwards. You've been through a couple days of practice. Are you confident that your team's get up, its ability to get out of the locker room will be improved tomorrow night against the Nuggets?
Oh, I'm always confident in that, based on our track record, based on just knowing the people on our team, knowing their character, knowing their competitive desire. And, you know, unfortunately, we've had a lot of embarrassing losses at home this year. We've been able to bounce back, and I have no doubt that we will bounce back. And
and play a lot better. We've had two good days of practice, and I think everybody on our team felt that embarrassment, and they'll be ready to go tomorrow.
Clay ready to go tomorrow? Sean, Kavon, probable? How are guys playing back into the rotation?
Yeah, all three of them practiced today, looked good, felt good, and all expected to play tomorrow.
One other question about the silver thing. Even if players did put their phones down, which is probably unlikely, it's always been true that the people close to them will tell them what's in the newspaper if they don't notice it themselves, or what's on the internet if they don't notice it themselves. Barring living in a cocoon, do coaches have to suddenly be stridently more aware of the issue and be more proactive versus reactive? Or is that too big a job even for Greg Popovich, who, as we all know, is the godhead?
I think it's for sure something we have to be aware of as coaches, and I think it's something that needs to be addressed occasionally, sometimes through humor and sarcasm.
That'll never work.
That works all the time. Your specialty, Ray. The key to life.
Why am I not getting royalties?
That's another question I can't answer. But I joke. I mess with our guys all the time. I walk in the locker room, they'll be on their phones, and all right, guys, let's send out our last tweets and put the phones down. Just something to try to poke a little fun at them, or call them millennials or whatever. And the guys, we all kind of laugh about it, but we do try to keep perspective about what's important, who's important, and I think it's good to remind your players, just like you remind your kids, remind anybody close to you that what really matters is right here. It's the people around you, your close friends, your family. And you've got to be able to tune out the noise. It just so happens there's more noise than there's ever been.
Lots of noise. We have a chance to try to sort it all out with Steve Kerr here once a week on 95.7 The Game. Steve, there's been an awful lot made of the raw data returned with DeMarcus in the starting five and the defensive numbers being down. I thought that Draymond did a great job trying to frame the situation, saying to put it on anyone when the team collectively isn't making the effort is unfair. Leave it to Draymond to say something poignant at practice. I thought he hit the nail on the head there. When you look at the data returned with DeMarcus and the blow-by scoring that we saw some Celtics do against him, where's your concern level on his defense? How can it be improved? Can Ron Adams wave a magic wand, or are there physical limitations due to his rehab off injury that have you concerned? I'm not saying this is why Bogut is here, but how concerned are you by DeMarcus's defensive numbers?
Well, the numbers bear out that we've been mediocre before he arrived defensively. We've been mediocre with him on the floor defensively since his return, and we've been mediocre when he's on the bench. So this does not the overall defensive focus is not about DeMarcus. It's about our overall competitive level. And it's my experience as a coach, when a team really kicks it into gear and competes at a high level, it immediately covers up a lot of sins. And it's a five-man game, so a lot of defense is designed around helping your teammate. And so every player's got weaknesses. Sometimes teams try to post up stuff because they got a size advantage, and we have, help components in our defense to deal with that. Sometimes Draymond's guarding Steven Adams or somebody's, 60 pounds heavier. Well, we'll probably double team more often or try to confuse him with speed and some different looks. And so you always have all this stuff at your fingertips, but if the players aren't competing at a high level, then that stuff doesn't matter. So Draymond's exactly right. Yeah, the whole team knows we can compete at a much higher level. And when we do, I think our defense will dramatically improve. And then at that stage, it's about matchups. You get into the playoffs. If there's a certain matchup you don't like, then maybe you go smaller. You play this guy. You play that guy. You search for matchups that you like. And that's all part of the drill. So somewhere within that long answer that I just gave you lies the answer to our defense.
But it sounds to me that, A, your defense is not what you want it to be in all situations, in which case, are you impressed by that consistency?
Totally impressed by the mediocrity we've shown all year. The one thing that I know is that these last 2 years have been a long haul. You know, just given where we are on this 5-year journey. So I don't expect top 5 defense in the regular season all year. It's too much to ask. It really is. It's too difficult. But if you remember a year ago, you know, our last month was a disaster defensively. And in the playoffs, we were by far the best defensive team in the league. So I know we will have another game. I have confidence in our guys to be able to get there. But I'm concerned that we, you know, we don't want to just assume that that's going to happen. So that's why we're practicing every day and trying to build better habits and get to the point where, you know, when we're really going these next couple months, we're at our best.
One last question before we get to the Michael Jordan stuff. We're gonna skip a little. Give me some no thank you to go down memory lane with you here, Steve, in just a moment. Can we put a little highlight or spotlight on Jordan Bell, who just seems like he's playing a lot better now than he was a month ago?
He's been great, and you know, I'm really happy for him. He's focused almost solely on just, you know, speed and toughness and defense and getting us loose balls and all rebounds. And, he's been very effective, and it's come at a good time too, because you know, Loon's been out the last couple games, and there's been certain matchups where we needed Jordan, and he's really proven his value. So I'm happy for him, and we're going to need him during the playoffs too. There's always a matchup that's going to come that's going to require Jordan's defense and his versatility. So really happy for him and happy with the way he's been playing.
Yeah, good to see to see him rounding into shape. So, Steve, you of all people probably have the most history connected with Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Like, you won titles with Jordan. You coached against LeBron in 4 straight finals, winning 3 of them. And last night, LeBron passed Michael Jordan. Can you, a man who knows both of them so well, become nostalgic about that moment when you see that happen? Do you feel that there's some sort of passing of the torch, or are you still firmly in one camp, not the other? You know these guys very well. You know their tendencies, their skills, and, you know, we have certain media members who have staked their entire careers on telling you what one was or what the other isn't. I don't do that, but you are the best to compare and contrast the two. What do you do? Do you ever do that? Do you get lost in the Jordan LeBron debate ever at all?
I don't get lost in it, but I get asked about it quite a bit. You know, I got asked about it a lot when I was in television, and, you know, we had those discussions on the air sometimes. And my contention has always been that they're very different players and playing in very different eras. But, you know, watching last night, watching the highlight, just a reminder of the fact that we've lived in a pretty special era of basketball over the last 30 years to see those two guys come through and dominate the league the way they both have. So they're both incredible in their own right, but I don't really compare them, because I think I've always felt LeBron is much more of a point forward, more of a passer, more of a guy to facilitate, even though he's obviously scored a ton of points. And Michael was more the killer, the guy who, you know, late game closer, the footwork, the mid-range shots, you know, coming in an era where you could really be physical. He got any shot he wanted. Post-ups, getting to the rim, dunking on people, anything he wanted. So the better comparison for Michael, to me, has always been Kobe. I think their games shared a lot more similarities than LeBron's.
How many Wennington Pachulia comparisons were you forced to make in your time?
Just one, and it came from you the first time I met you. I think that was your question for me.
Nice.
Yeah, and I remember you didn't like either of them.
I don't remember answering the question that way, but selective memory for you, Rick.
Did you play with Luke Longley? And if so, does that help you communicate with Andrew Bogut because you speak fluent Australian?
Yes, it definitely helps. Longley was my good friend and teammate for about 4 years, and my favorite Luke Longley moment was he'd been out with injury for a month or so, and he came off the floor, first came back. He's pretty rusty, you know, big seven-footer, 275-pound mountain of a man. I said, how'd you feel out there, Luke? And he says in his Aussie accent, mate, I'm swimming with seals out there.
Fantastic.
So I always think of Luke Longley when I see the poor big guy coming back off of injury and the game's just moving a million miles an hour for him.
Swimming with seals. That's great. Hey, Steve, thank you very much. As always, generous with your time. Great to talk to you. And good luck against the Denver Nuggets tomorrow night. It feels like a big one. It is a big one. And hopefully you guys come out responding like it's a big one. We'd love to see the Warriors get back on track, man. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you.
There you go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.